tell you right now, that song just puts things in perspective for me. It just does. I'm glad that I was made for Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know what God's concerned about in my life? Not that I'm healthy. But listen, God, I believe God wants us to be healthy. And not that we're happy. And I think a lot of times we get so consumed with wanting to be healthy or happy. But God is primarily concerned that I'm holy. Because God saved me to be like Him. Holy. If we would get more concerned about being holy than healthy and happy. Now, I'm not saying that health doesn't matter, and I'm not saying that happiness doesn't matter. I'm not saying that at all. But holiness is where you see God. That's where you see God. Not through health and not through happiness. It's with holiness, the author of Hebrews says, that we shall see God. You have your Bible open to Psalm 23, and I want to say that I'm glad that you're here, and it's especially good to have Gary and Joanne Zedeker here. Now, why do I say that? Because we have prayed for this young lady when she was down physically, and it's so good to see you up and about and to have y'all with us today, and I'm thankful that God answered prayer in your life, and here you are sitting here today. All glory to God. All glory to God. It's good to see God answering prayer in people's lives. Amen. I want to talk to you out of verse number 3. I want to preach to you a little bit on He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. What is happening here? What is happening in this 23rd Psalm? We've been going through, and if you'll remember, we said we're on a journey. And the journey starts out, and it takes us through green pastures and by the still waters, and it takes us through the paths of righteousness and right on through the valley of the shadow of death and in the presence of our enemies. And then you get down to verse number 6, and it says this: surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now that's where we're going to end up, okay? In this journey, if the Lord is your shepherd, you are going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You're going to heaven, amen? So you folks seem kind of happy. Well, we're going to a happy place. Amen. I'm happy that I'm going to heaven. Now, God didn't save me just to go to heaven. That's kind of a side benefit. God saved me, as I've already said. God saved me to give me purpose and to become like Him. I am being conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why God saved me. You say, well, God saved me to keep me out of hell. That's not the primary reason God saved you. God saved you to be conformed to the image of His Son. God made us in His image. And the reason He saves us is so we could be reacquainted with the way or the purpose that He made us. Now, some of the side benefits, and there are many, is that we're going to heaven. Amen. Amen. If you're going to heaven, say amen. Amen. About half of you going. The rest of you listen to this next statement. If you're not saved, and I'm sincere, you will die in your sin and go to hell. Now, God doesn't want that. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I certainly don't want that, and I trust you don't want that. But just because you don't want it doesn't mean it won't happen. And the Scripture says here, we're on a journey. I hope you're on the journey. And it says that if the Lord is your shepherd, look at the way this psalm begins. The Lord is my shepherd, not a shepherd, not the shepherd. He's my shepherd. If you've made the Lord your shepherd, it's a personal thing. If you've made the Lord your shepherd, you can say with the psalmist in verse number 6, I will dwell in the house of God forever. Amen? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? I've made the Lord my shepherd. And this is talking about relationship. And he said in this relationship, he said this in verse number 6. He said, I know that in my journey, he said, I know where I'm going to end up. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to the Lord's house. I'm going to dwell there forever. He said, but I want you to know that in route there, in my journey, he said, I am just as sure as I am that I'm going to heaven, that goodness and mercy, look at what he said. I like these words of affirmation. I will dwell. Not I think, I may, I might, could happen. Gonna happen, amen. Gonna happen. I'm going there. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now look at this other word of affirmation. Verse number 6. Surely. Not maybe, surely, in my journey, on route there, in my pilgrimage,
I am going to be followed by goodness and mercy. How often, David? Look what he said. All the days of my life. See, that's what Psalm 23 is about. Psalm 23 is about all the days of our life, brethren. All the days of our life. What? As a child of God. As a child of God. When I made Jesus my shepherd, I was assured that I was going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But in the journey, I get goodness and mercy to follow me all the days of my life. Brethren, it just doesn't get any better than that. It just doesn't get any better than this. You say, well, I just don't think it's that good. It's probably because you're not on the path. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Notice what he says here. In verses 1 and 2 of this psalm, he establishes a relationship. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we've talked about that. And he said, now that I become his, he leads me, in verse number 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He protects me. He nourishes me. He gives me peace. He provides for me. My Lord, since I've entered into this relationship. But now he's going to go from talking about relationship, don't miss it, to fellowship. Now there's a difference. And that's what I want to preach to you about this morning. Fellowship. Fellowship. The relationship cannot be broken. The relationship cannot be broken. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and I know them and they follow me, and they shall never perish. You believe that? I do, because it's the Word of God. They shall never perish. The relationship shall never be broken. But the fellowship can be. Our fellowship with God can be broken. And there's times that we need God to do a work in our lives, in our fellowship, to restore. To restore. Now see, David knew a little something about this. Before I get too deep into this, I'm not going to be able to preach but one of my points this morning, and so I'm just going to take my time on point number one. I want to talk to you about the ministry of the shepherd in restoration. As I've been researching and looking over this and taking notes that I have gathered over years and then looking at some new things and praying and asking God to give me something, I want to share some things with you that God gave to me. Now here is a man who was a shepherd, but he's not speaking as a shepherd. Now he's speaking from a shepherd's experience. David was a shepherd boy. But he's speaking as a sheep. Notice what he said. The Lord is my shepherd. What's that make you? What's that make him, brethren? A sheep. So he is a shepherd, but he's not speaking as a shepherd. He's speaking as a sheep. And as a shepherd, he knows how important the sheep are to the shepherd. And so here's a man that's been on both sides. You know, you just see better when you've seen all the angles. And he said, I want you to know some things about my shepherd that is really, really important. He restoreth, look at verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. Now, a lot of people would be good right there. God, just help me to be better. God, just bring me back. God, just get me back on the right path. But David said, that's not where it ends. That's not all God wants to do in my life. God wants to continue my blessing in this life by putting me back on the path of righteousness so that all the days of my life, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. He said, I want to stay on the right path. So I don't want God just to restore me and then say, well, thank you, Lord, and then it's over. No, he said, I want to get right with God. Don't miss this now. I want to get right with God, but I want to stay right with God. Amen. The first part of verse number 3 says, I want to get right with God. The second part of verse number 3 says, I want to stay right with God. Look at what he said. He restoreth my soul. I want to get right with God. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. I want to stay right with God. You cannot get out of fellowship. You cannot get out of favor with God when you are walking in the paths of righteousness. Say amen with me. And David said, I got off the path. Now it can happen. He said, I got off the path. As a matter of fact, if you'll hold your place here and turn over to Psalm 51 just for a moment, he spoke about that in Psalm 51. I won't spend a lot of time here because I want to get back and give you some things about restoration, the ministry of restoration. In Psalm 51, Many of you know that this is the psalm that David wrote after his act with Bathsheba. Psalm 51, David is the writer of the psalm. The prophet Nathan had gone into him after David had gone into Bathsheba and sinned the scarlet sin. And he said in verse number 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." You know what David was thankful for? That mercy was following him. That's what he was thankful for. He was thankful that mercy had followed him. Even when he got off the path, mercy pursued him. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. You say, "Well, preacher, I've never needed that." Oh, don't you listen, don't you lie to yourself and don't you lie to God. Every one of us have needed this before in our lives. And he said, "I'm thankful." And he said, "Now, God, I don't want you just to forgive me. I don't want you just to have mercy on me. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I want to come clean, Lord. I want to come clean with you. I don't want anything between me and you, Lord." He said in verse number 3, "I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin as ever before thee." Listen, David is coming clean with God. Now, as we skip down, and I don't have time to go into all this, but I want you to get down, if you would, into verse number 12. David uttered a prayer. And in Psalm 23, David said, "You know what? The Lord answered my prayer." In Psalm 50, he said this. This was before Psalm 23. When you look at the timeline, this is before Psalm 23, David penned this psalm. And he prayed and he said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Now, he didn't say, "Lord, restore unto me thy salvation." Because he wasn't talking about relationship here. He's talking about fellowship. And he said, "Lord, I need my fellowship restored." You know what you lose when you lose fellowship with God? The chief thing that we lose is the joy. When you look around today in Christian circles, when you look at our churches, when you look at Christians in and out of the places out in our community, I wonder if you see joy in our faces. There's a lack of joy in our lives. Could it be, and I'm not indicting anyone, I'm just simply asking some questions this morning. Are you on the paths of righteousness? Are you in fellowship with God? Is everything good between you and your Savior? Is the channel clear? He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." God, I need you to restore me. But he didn't stop there. I like verse number 13. He said, "I want you to restore me then." I like that. I don't want that to be the end. See, it's where a lot of folks mess up. It's why they need to keep getting restored and then restored and then restored and then restored. Listen, you've got to now, you've got to go on the paths of righteousness. You've got to let him lead you. You let him retrieve you, now you've got to let him lead you. He restored you, now you've got to let him lead you. Restore, he said, he restoreth me, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Look at verse number 13 of Psalm 51. He said, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Lord, he said, "I'll go back to work for you. God, I'll do your will in my life. Lord, I'll put you first. I'll live my life for others. I won't live my life for myself. I got in trouble because I did my thing. I did my way. I fulfilled my lust. I did what I wanted to do. I was stubborn. And I did what I wanted to do instead of what you wanted me to do, Lord. And I'm asking you to forgive me and wash me and cleanse me. And I want you to restore me. And then, God, I'm going to go back to serving you instead of serving me." You see, Proverbs 14:14 says the backslider is filled with all of his ways. That the backslider's heart, he's filled with all of his ways. Now, I want you to go back to Psalm 23, and I want you to see what David is saying here. He's saying, "Lord, I'm so glad for our relationship. I'm so glad that I made you my shepherd. I'm glad you're my shepherd, Lord. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you make me lay down in those green pastures. And I'm glad that you lead me beside the still waters." And then he reflected back. Now, was it one time? I don't think so. But I think it's certainly that one time, and there were others. Listen, you've had to be restored more than once if you've been saved for any length of time. We need restoration, brethren. And he said, "He restoreth my soul." The word there, as I've mentioned to you often here in the King James, the reason it's got the ETH is it's a continuation. It's a word of continuation. God just restores and restores and restores. and He leads and He leads and He leads. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something about sheep and shepherd. Number one, sheep are prone to wander. And shepherds are prone to go after them. Isn't that something? I like what the psalmist said here. Look at it again. He maketh me, in verse 2, lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. It's not the hireling. It's not the shepherd's right-hand man. Aren't you glad that the shepherd himself personally came after you? I'm glad for this. This speaks volumes of the care and the love that God has for each and every one of us here this morning. God loves us, brethren. Listen, if we got nothing else, we could leave here full in our hearts saying, you know what, the God of heaven loves me. Now, the devil's going to try to get you to doubt that. The devil's going to try to get you to doubt that. Now, listen to me. He'll try to get you to doubt that God loves you. He'll say, well, listen, you didn't do what you should have done, so God doesn't love you anymore. Now, God may not be pleased with you, but that doesn't mean God doesn't love you. No, the Bible says that God loves us with an everlasting love. Amen. God's love is unending, and I'm thankful for that. And the scripture says here, and He restoreth my soul. Now, there's three kinds of sheep that need to be restored. I want you to write them down, and I'm going to give you one of them in particular, and that's where we'll end today. They're stubborn sheep. They're stubborn sheep. Are you a stubborn sheep? You say, I don't know. Well, ask your mate. Ask God. God, am I stubborn? And then there's straying sheep. Now listen to me carefully. I hope you'll write these down. You're one of these three at some point, if not all of them, in our lives. I've been every one of these. I've been stubborn. Now I know that's hard for you to believe. I'm such a good guy and I got all these good qualities. I'm stubborn, brethren. You say, what do you mean? Well, listen to what the Bible says about me. I feel like He's talking to me. Isaiah 53, verse number 6. Don't miss it now. All we like sheep have gone astray. Listen to this next phrase. We have turned everyone unto his own way. That's what stubborn is. On my way. God says, I want you to do this. Well, I want to do this. We should be praying not my will but thine, but we're saying not thy will but mine. I'm stubborn. I want to do what I want to do. David looked down and he said, I want her, but she's another man's wife. I want her. Stubborn. Stubborn. And you've got some stubbornness in you. And I have some stubbornness in me. And when we're stubborn and we go our own way, then we need restoration in our lives. But then there's straying sheep. That's the second. Sheep that need to be restored. Straying sheep. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. See, a stubborn sheep, now listen to me now, is willful. I want my will. But a straying sheep's not necessarily willful. It's not willfulness that gets the sheep in trouble. It's carelessness. Just careless. They just kind of wander. Maybe they get a little bit off the path over here a little bit, and then they get a little bit over, and they don't really mean to end up in the mud hole. They don't really mean. They just thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to get off the path a little bit. I'm just going to eat a little bit over here, just a little bit, but I'll be back. That's what straying is. So there's stubborn sheep, and then there's straying sheep, and then there's sick sheep or wounded. Now, if you look in Psalm 23, you'll find some instruments that our shepherd uses to minister to us. The rod. You see it? Thy rod, I think it's verse number 4, thy rod and thy staff. There's two instruments that the shepherd uses on the sheep. Now I want to say this. Both of them were formed by the shepherd to protect the sheep. They were formed for protection, but they can be used for correction. And I want you to remember that. They're formed for protection. But they can be used for correction. Now, the rod, I mean, that is a tool that can do some damage. All right? The staff, we call it the shepherd's crook. I think the rod is used for the stubborn sheep. And the staff is used for the straying sheep. You know, it's got that shepherd's crook on it, and it can reach out and it can grab a sheep and pull it back in line, right? Pull it back in line. It can nudge it. As a matter of fact, turn over to Psalm 40 just for a moment, and I'll get into this a little deeper another time, but I do want you to see this. We know this passage of Scripture in Psalm 40 when David is saying, you know, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. You see that in Psalm 40? He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. How do you think he brought him up? I believe he brought him up with the shepherd's crook. He brought him up by that old mud and slime and that old pit that he was in. But he didn't just bring him up. Notice how he said, he what? Established my goings. He led me in the paths of righteousness. God just doesn't clean us up, brethren. He gets us back in the game, so to speak. God just doesn't save us. God uses us to serve. God just doesn't restore us. He puts us back on the right path. So that, why? Because God has a name to protect. He does it for his name's sake. Amen. He does it for our good, but he does it for his glory. And so we have these three instruments. We have the rod. We have the staff. Look at verse number 5. Thou anointest my head with oil. I believe the rod is for the stubborn sheep. I believe the crook is for the straying sheep. But I believe this is for the wounded, the sickly. Aren't you glad when there's times that you're down and you just, you know, I've ministered to some people and I've hurt some people. I didn't do it maybe I did do it intentionally. Hard to say sometimes. You know, we can be mean-spirited people. We can say and do things that we shouldn't say and do. Every one of us. And none of us are above it. Now, hopefully, we mature and we grow and we learn that that's not God's way. Amen. I'm going to say that again. If you have hurt someone, if I have hurt someone, that's not God's way. That needs to be taken care of. And the Scripture says here that the shepherd, when he sees that we're hurt, and I've talked to people as a pastor who have been hurt, some by people, some by pastor, some by ministry, some by lost people, some by people they work with, some by people in their family, they've been hurt, and they're discouraged, and they're despondent. Aren't you glad for those times when the shepherd comes and he just kind of rubs through your fur and he finds that place of ailing and he takes that oil and he anoints your head, amen. And he anoints those places with the oil of the Spirit of God and he just brings comfort to you. I can't tell you the times in my life that I was discouraged and I was down and I needed help and it was nothing that a man could do. Thank God the good shepherd came to me, amen. The good shepherd. And he ministered to me. And he brought me comfort and assurance. And he helped me when nothing or no one else could. I'm thankful for those instruments that God uses in our lives to bring what we need in the time of our need. Now I want to elaborate on something here. The rod. I want you to look at it with me, the rod for the stubborn sheep. The rod for the stubborn sheep. When it's the stubborn sheep, it's chastisement. When it's the straying sheep, it's correction. And when it's the sick or the wounded sheep, it's comfort. I'm glad that God offers all three of these things in order to restore us. In order to restore us. I want to talk to you about chastisement just for a moment. Some folks look at chastisement as a bad thing. It has greatly influenced our country and our churches negatively by looking at chastisement as a negative thing. I was doing some reading this week, and I mean, it literally just turned my stomach. I was talking to Pastor David and Pastor Brandon yesterday after our missions meeting, and we were talking about something else, and I just brought this up because it just sickened me. That we have a bunch of sissy preachers and a bunch of soft Christians that don't understand the ways of God. We want everything to be the way we want it. We think everything and everybody's soft. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. God is not soft. God is loving and God is kind. But somehow we get this thing, well, you know what? God will just sweep our sin under the rug because he loves us so much. No, he won't. No, he won't. He didn't sweep David's sin under the rug, and he won't sweep mine. And he won't sweep yours. Amen. God doesn't sweep sin under the rug. God will cleanse it, but he doesn't sweep it under the rug. God deals with sin. And he does so if we are stubborn, now listen to me, through chastisement. That rod, and I'm not going to go into the formulating and all. I've done some reading of Philip Keller and Wembley and some different ones. And they talk about how the shepherd formulates that rod. But I'm telling you, it's a tool that can do some damage. And when a sheep is stubborn, and I want you to hear this. When a sheep is stubborn, you say, well, I don't think, when you hear this, you're going to think God would do that. Well, let's just see what the Bible says. I'd like to know what saith the Scriptures. When a sheep just keeps erring and keeps going and stubborn and saying, no, I'm going to do it my way. Come on now, get back in line. No, I'm going to do it my way. Come on now, get back in line. I'm going to do it my way. There comes a time when only the shepherd knows now. Only the shepherd knows. He's going to take that sheep and he's going to give him a little clubbing. And it might even break his leg. I don't know. Sometimes he will. Now, he doesn't do that because he doesn't like the sheep. He does it because he loves the sheep. And he does that because it teaches the sheep a lesson. What's the lesson that it teaches the sheep? Well, number one, it teaches the sheep that, you know what, you come and I'll bind up your leg and I'm going to put you right here by me so that you can't go on your own. I'm going to make it easier for you to do my will. Are you listening? See, that's God loving you. That's not God not loving you. That's God loving you.
Amen.
I'm going to make it easier for you to do what I say. And I'm going to bring us closer together. When you study the Scripture, you'll find that when Jesus went out and got that sheep, you know where he put it? Right here, brother. It makes me wonder if he had to break its leg. Carrying that sheep around. Read it. Carrying that sheep around. You know what happens when you spend that much time with the shepherd? You find out a lot of things about the shepherd that you ordinarily wouldn't find out. You do. All that time together and all that closeness. You can turn to Psalm 119 while I'm talking about this. All that closeness. And David spoke about this. And he said, you know, see, David got it. He said, I didn't get chastened because God doesn't love me. He said, I got chastened because God does love me. God loves me. And that sheep, when it would get closer to the shepherd, and when it would be carried around by the shepherd, and it was closer to the shepherd's heart and closer to the shepherd's feet. Now listen to me now. Up here, close to the shepherd's heart, around his shoulders. Down here, close to the shepherd's feet. And when you get close to your shepherd's heart and you get close to your shepherd's feet, things begin to pick up, brethren. And that sheep learns some things about the shepherd that he ordinarily wouldn't learn. And when he gets better as he's nursed back to health, he don't want to take off. He knows where it's good for him to be. Right there. Right there. Are you in Psalm 119? Look, if you would, in Psalm 119. Look in verse number 67. This is what David said. I can't help believe that David didn't have this picture in mind. In Psalm 119, in verse number 67, David said this, and these are familiar passages of Scripture. He said this. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. You know, there's an inference there that through affliction, it taught me not to just wander off and go astray and be stubborn. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, verse 67. And he said, but now have I kept thy word. It taught me some things. It taught me some things about God and God's word and my shepherd. Look at verse 71 of Psalm 119. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. David said, I've learned the secret of chastisement. It's good for me. It's a good thing that God would chasten me. I hope you view it that way. Now, as I close the message today, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter number 12. And this will be where we close today. Now, it's just today's message. This is not going to close this section. We'll pick up here another time. But in Hebrews chapter number 12, there is a section of Scripture that deals with chastisement. As I was reading some things that people were saying throughout the week, I was reading people saying, well, God, that's a myth that the shepherd would just break a sheep's leg. Well, that's not what the shepherd, Philip Keller, said. He said he did it. You look over in the book of, sometime, don't do it right now, in Hosea, you'll find that God said that, yeah, there's a time I'll have to break you, I'll have to tear you. There's a time to restore you. And now we've grown up in a society, and I don't want you to lose me here now. I want you to stay with me. To where we think corporal punishment is abuse. Because we become so soft. We think to discipline a child is wrong. Well, I want to tell you something, child of God. He's going to discipline you. And it's not wrong. Now, God will not abuse you. And you should not abuse a child. But God will discipline you, and you should discipline your child. I feel sorry for children that their parents don't love them enough to discipline them. I feel sorry for you. And if there's someone like that in here today, I do. I pity you. Because you have got a long, hard road, my friend. Discipline is of God. And here in Hebrews chapter number 12, look at it if you would here. And by the way, I thought about this as you're in Hebrews chapter number 12. We'll begin in verse number 5. I thought about old Jacob. You think God loved Jacob? Said he did. Jacob have I loved. Amen. Did he say that? He loved Jacob. You know what he did? He broke his hip. Pretty much. Read it in Genesis 32. Made him walk different. It did. You know what it taught him? It taught him how to lean. I'm afraid that we haven't learned how to lean. But Jacob, in the latter year of his life, was worshiping, leaning on his staff. God taught him some things. Now, I had to break him before he could bond with him. And sometimes God has to break his sheep before he can bond with them. But don't take that as a negative. Please don't. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to give you this and we'll pick up here next week. But I don't want you to miss this. Perhaps there's someone in the house or that has joined us by live stream and you're under God's chastening hand. You're not doing God's will in your life. And I will guarantee you now, I guarantee you on the authority of the Bible, if you are not doing God's will, if you are wayward, if you are stubborn, if you are not doing what God has commanded you to do as a child of God, if you're saved, God's going to chasten you. You say, well, I just live any old way I want, preacher, and God's not chastening me. Well, this section of Scripture right here deals with folks like you. And I'm not being mean. You're illegitimate. You're just saying you're a child, but you're not one. See, many shall say unto him in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? He said, then will I say unto you, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you. I never knew you. Not I knew you and then I didn't. I just never knew you. Chastisement's good for you. It's good for you. And that's what this section of Scripture says. Look at it here. It says that chastening in verse number 11, for the present, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. And there's someone that may be sitting here this morning or joined us by live stream that says, you know what, I don't like this and I don't think it's good for me and I don't think God should be doing it this way and I think there ought to be a better way and God shouldn't chasten me when I do wrong. Listen to me, God knows what's best for our lives. He knows what's best. He's doing it because He loves you. He's trying to save you from yourself. And the Scripture says here that no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but look at this, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. See, that's what God's after. What's He after, brethren? Righteousness. Holiness. Remember what I said? It's not health. It's not happy. I know what this newfound, this new age gospel's preaching. Listen, that's not biblical. God is for holiness. Amen. Look down at verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It's holiness. It's holiness. And when we are stubborn and when we say, I'm going to do it my way, God is going to chasten us, but it's not because He doesn't love us. It's because He does. Many of you are parents. If you've ever have had to chasten or correct your children, you didn't do it because you didn't love them. You do it because you do love them. Would you underline three words in your Bible? In verse number 5, the Bible says, ye have not forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Now here's a response that you could take to chastening. You could despise it. And as I've said, perhaps there's someone here and you are despising and you say, I don't like it. I don't like that God did that. I don't like that God took that action. And I just want it to be different. But here the Bible says, now be wise. Now don't you despise the chastening of the Lord. Now here's why. Notice what He said. He said, because it proves you're saved. See, when I'm chastened of the Lord, that means I belong to Him. When I did wrong, my neighbor's parents didn't come over and whip me. And as a child of God, God's going to take care of the punishment in my life, not the devil. The devil takes care of the temptation, but God will take care of the punishment if I need it in my life. Notice again what it says in verse number 5. He said, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Children. What's the next two words? My son. When God's chastening you, it's an evidence that you belong to Him. So don't you despise it now. He said, don't despise it. God's revealing to you that you belong to Him. That's a great assurance of salvation. That God just won't let you live the way you want to. But He says, no, I've got a will and a purpose for your life. And I'm going to discipline you back into what's best for your life. You say, well, I know what's best for my life. No, you don't. And I'm going to follow my heart. You better not. It's deceitful. Above all things, it's desperately wicked. And we live in a day when people get on the social media and say, just follow your heart. No, you better follow God, not your heart. That's a terrible thing to follow. Don't despise it. Number two, look what he said in verse number 5. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. That's the second response to chastisement. The first is despise it. I don't like it, and I'm not going to allow it to work in my life, and I'm just going to do what I want to do anyway. Well, now you're going to mess up. That's what you're going to do. Because the chastisement can turn into scourging. And then there's what the Scripture says, fainting. But there's a positive way to respond, and here it is. Don't miss it in verse number 11. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness, but not unto everyone. Who does it yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness to, according to the Bible, brethren? To them which are exercised thereby. To them that allow, you know what the word exercised is, right? It's training. I know none of us exercise. We don't know what exercise means, but you know. Amen. Look the word up. I'll come on, lighten up. It means training. God has us in His spiritual gym. And He's training us. And He wants us to be the most fit spiritually, and the best that we can be spiritually. And so He brings these things into our lives when we're not on the right track and when we're exercised thereby and we do what He says, when we accept His regiment, we're exercised thereby. And you know what it produces? Look at what the Scripture says. Righteousness. righteousness. You say, yeah, but preacher, after I exercise, I'm sore the next day. Well, after God exercises you, you may be sore the next day too. So what am I to get from all this? That being a sheep is not all about mountaintops and having my way. Being a sheep means that I belong to my shepherd. And if I'm happy to say the Lord is my shepherd, I ought to be rejoicing that my shepherd knows what's best for me. And I want to do his will, but there's times that I get outside of his will and I want to do my will. And I want to do it my way. Why? Because I'm stubborn. I have a stubborn streak in me. And you do too. And God will speak to us, and if we'll get back in line, well, we can go on. But if we don't now, God says, well, now I'm going to have to chasten you. And if God is chastening you, you can stand to your feet. If God is chastening you this morning, please listen to me. If God is chastening you, you say, well, I know, you'll know. How many of you ever got a whipping? Now, I'm not talking about a patty cake on a big, thick diaper. I'm talking about a whipping from grandma or grandpa. Raise your hand. Okay, how about your parents? Okay. All right, most of you. Most of you. The rest of you fall into that category that I talked about earlier, that I feel sorry for you. And I'm serious. Children need whippings. And there's children out there saying, oh, I don't need a whipping. Listen to your parents sometime. They'll be bragging about the whippings they got. They'll be bragging about it. Boy, I tell you, my dad, he laid it on me. Grandma put it on me. Now, we wasn't saying that while we were getting it. Just proves again the Word of God is right. No chastisement for the present seemed to be joyous. But afterward, you see. So what is happening here? God is saying, listen, I have your best interest in mind. There were times that you probably thought your parents didn't love you because they whipped you. Maybe there's somebody in here today that feels that way. But as I look back, I can see, I sure am glad I had a grandmother and a mother who loved me enough to discipline me. They invested in my life, and they disciplined me. But greater than that, I have a shepherd who loves me enough to discipline me. And he loves me enough to where he will not let me go my way and succeed. Now, he'll let me go my way, but he will not let me go my way and succeed. Charles Spurgeon said, God's children still sin. They just can't sin and enjoy it. So I enjoy my sin, just for a season. Then what? Remorse, guilt, sorrow. Would you bow your head with me just for a moment? You know, I realize this message was not going to be one of those up, shouting, praising God messages, but it's something that we need so that we can be on the right road. As the piano begins to play, I want to encourage you now. Do God's will with your life. Please don't believe the lie of the devil. Please don't think that you can just do what you want to do and there'll be no consequences, that you can go against God's word and you can do your will and not God's will and there'll never be any answer to that. No, God's going to discipline you now. Whether you're 8 years old, if you're saved now and you know right from wrong and you know you ought to be doing right and God's spoken to you about that and you refuse to do what's right, God's going to discipline you. He is. If you're 80 and you've been saved for 70 years, you know what's right. And if God is speaking to your heart and you don't get that right, God's going to exercise you. He's going to discipline you. Allow that discipline. Allow it. Don't despise it. Don't quit. Don't faint at it. Got too many quitting Christians now. We need some Christians that will get on the firing line and front line and serve God with their life.
Just get it right with God. As He exercises you, get it right so you can get back in fellowship and stay right. He restoreth my soul.